Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, it's going to cost you more to get that complimentary upgrade on Delta, and there's a new visitor trend in Vegas which has nothing to do with gambling at the tables.
At 3:20, we have an update on luxury rail travel with Kevin Murphy, who shares an in-person experience on the city of New Orleans.
Red Lion Inns have been a part of the Sacramento hotel scene for as long as I can remember. Now the chain has a new frequent guest program with a unique twist. We'll tell you about it at 3:35.
You know, Berkeley is known for being a bit different, so it's the perfect place for the second Idea Festival. What's an Idea Festival? Can anyone attend? We have the answer at 3:50.
Great guests, lots of travel tips, and ways to make you a smarter traveler. Welcome aboard. You're with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Tickets, I want the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to a beautiful Sunday afternoon, beautiful and breezy here in Sacramento. It is the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman with his windblown hair. To my left, Tom Romano wearing
as much of it as there is left.
Yes, well, you know, there is the upside to having less hair.
I had a teacher who told me when I was a kid in high school that if I wore, because I wore a hat every day to school, a baseball hat in high school.
Let me guess, I can tell you what they said. You know, if you keep wearing that hat, it's going to make your hair fall out.
Going to make your hair fall out, yeah. And so here I am, you know, approaching 60, and the hair is, you know, I've got this kind of spot in the back now, and it's kind of, the forehead is receding. So I thought to myself the same thing I thought when I was 17. Well, if the hair falls out, I'll just put on a hat, and who will know?
That's, if you notice, I'm wearing my hat. And, you know, you can also look at it this way. Your hairline isn't receding. Your face is getting larger.
Ah, that's it. And you're wearing a San Francisco Giants hat, and you're all decked out.
I am all Giants out. I was on Friday, and then yesterday, of course, for the Giants' big win. And, and I'm feeling pretty lucky.
It's no secret we are baseball fans here at the Travel Guys, and there's without being too derogatory towards those that root for teams in Southern California, I would note that on Tuesday was probably about the best day that any Giants fan could ever have, because the Dodgers were eliminated in the afternoon and the Giants won their series in the evening. Something that has never happened before, because the two teams have never been in the playoffs at the same time. So
there you go.
It is a travel show, but nonetheless,
I'm guessing you probably already know the answer to this little riddle or question or whatever is. What's the difference between a Dodgers hot dog and a San Francisco Giants hot dog?
Oh, I don't. They call them Dodger dogs down there. So, no, I don't know the answer to that.
You can't buy a Dodger dog in October. And with that, boom. Welcome. We are the Travel Guys. Got a great show. A lot of fun information and stuff to make you a smarter traveler and just entertain you all in all this afternoon. And let's get it started. Fire up the band. Huey Lewis in the band, I might add, if we can find it here. There it is.
Huey Lewis was a little bit late today.
There you go. Mark Hoffman with the travel news, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go. We mentioned in the headlines at the top of the hour that if you fly on Delta Airlines, if you're a frequent traveler who likes those complimentary upgrades or even buying inexpensive tickets and then using your miles to upgrade, well, your days are numbered. The devaluation of Delta Sky Miles program continues, Tim Winship of Smarter Travel reports. Yesterday, it was the company's plan to discontinue its Round the World awards. Today, it's the announcement it will eliminate domestic upgrades for elite Sky Miles members on its cheapest fares, starting on February the 1st of next year. When you book the cheapest fare, the basic economy fares will not be eligible for either complimentary or even paid upgrades. You won't be able to use your mileage to upgrade from this lowest fare. Now, admittedly, Delta only uses these fares on routes where they compete directly with Spirit Airlines, which therefore may not affect you out of Sacramento, but it may affect you on your connecting leg.
You go to that frequent flyer convention every year?
I do, yeah.
Are they gonna just like not have one after all the changes that have been going on?
Well, eventually there may be no more ways to game the system when it's all said and done with. But anyways, it's going to cost you, if you're a Delta frequent flyer, you're going to have to, what's going to happen is they're going to force you into a higher fare category, and then they'll take your miles or whatever, put you on the list for the upgrade, but you will have paid more for your ticket to start with. So it's just one of the ways. Hey, you ever been to Amsterdam?
I have not.
They have a great airport there. It's called Schiphol Airport, and it's really one of the great airports on the planet. In my mind, the best international
airport.
And because it has shopping, and the people are friendly, and the Dutch, of course, speak better English than the English speak, and the Dutch speak perfect English. So you go there, you can ask any question. Everybody always will answer you generally in English. There's lots of things on both sides of security. There's always things to do. Schiphol Airport has put out a new bid for the taxis that serve the airport. And because the Netherlands, they're working really hard on being green over there for with good reason. Rising water is going to infect them quite a bit. Schiphol Airport now has a new taxi fleet. It's all Tesla taxis.
Wow. Okay.
So not only when you take a taxi out of Schiphol Airport now, you're going to be riding in a brand new Tesla.
And the airport has its own taxi service.
And the airport has as well. And they bid it out to each, like Sacramento does, and many airports do.
No Ubers or Lyfts over there.
No, well, not yet. Here's something from Las Vegas. You know, people go to Las Vegas to gamble. And there's a new trend spouting up in Las Vegas.
I know. It's going to haunted ghost thing tours, right?
Yeah. Lots of side attractions in Vegas. You're kind of sort of right. People are doing less gambling and more of other things in Vegas. And one of the things that they're doing more of is eating.
Well, sure.
So
more eating.
Well, and it started in the big casinos because they brought in celebrity chefs and they brought in big names and they created these fancy restaurants. Well, and then the chefs figured out that, you know, they didn't necessarily have to be in the casino. That was a little restrictive. You had to play by their rules. You had to charge their prices and fix the food they wanted you to fix. Maybe if you moved three blocks off the strip and you bought a place, then you could have your own place.
So you're talking about, restaurants that are not necessarily in the casinos. That are upscale or are specialty restaurants, if you will.
Absolutely. And in Las Vegas, many residents, people who live in Las Vegas, rarely go anywhere near the Strip. I mean, it's like in people who live in Manhattan, unless they're going to a Broadway show, they don't go to Midtown Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Probably lots of examples like that. But in Las Vegas, so moving these restaurants, these fancy restaurants, these nice restaurants off the Strip is not only lowering their price points, but it's also making them much more accessible to local people.
Locals,
so one of the advantages of living in Vegas.
Those.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So if you live in Las Vegas, here's a list of over two dozen restaurants that have opened in the last 2 years with celebrity, in quotes, chefs that are serving everything from Brazilian food to chocolate, Chinese. Here's a new restaurant called Eat, a breakfast and lunch joint from former Strip chef Natalie Young. I don't know who Natalie Young is, but obviously a well-known chef from the Las Vegas Strip. So the point is, if you go to Las Vegas, you don't have to eat in buffets and pig out all the time. You don't have to pay a lot of money to eat in fancy restaurants on the Strip that might cost you a lot of money coming and going, if you know what I mean, to the restaurant.
Right.
You can go down to Las Vegas and stay in one of those places, and if you do your homework right, well, you can have, maybe we'll get somebody with restaurants to be on the show.
That
one
would
these
be
days.
Awesome. I'm sure that there's, if they haven't yet, there'll be somebody doing restaurant tours of Vegas.
You would.
Like our friends
in
up north.
In Seattle. In Portland and Sacramento, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. In Vegas also, here's something cool for Halloween. We'll be having a special Halloween show 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm.
Robert George Allen is going to join us, our ghost hunter friend. He's going to talk all about hunting ghosts. So be sure not to miss that. Speaking of Halloween in Vegas, that the Boneyard, now the Boneyard is where all the signs, the old neon signs lived in Vegas, the old Boneyard.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having a Boneyard bash on Halloween. A carnival sideshow from 7 to 10 on Halloween night, $40. Appearance of the cast of Evil Dead the Musical. Special appearance by Culture Shock Las Vegas. Maybe it's a local band. Madame Roseweed, legendary tarot card reader. Stilt walkers, jugglers, a bearded lady, a costume competition. All kinds of things at the Boneyard. Wouldn't that be a cool place to go?
I don't have any plans for Halloween other than a Kings game, I think. Might have to blow that off and go to Vegas for Halloween. I think it'd be a great place to be.
That just sounds like fun. $45 in advance and $55 at the door, and you'd be out under. And a few of those signs, they have worked them and rewired them so that some of them light up at night.
like to get my hands on a couple of those.
Yeah, exactly. All right. This is kind of an interesting item, I thought, to close out the news here. You walk into your hotel room. We've talked about this previously.
I'm walking into my hotel room.
Yep. And the one thing that really turns you on, whether you know it or not.
Besides that.
Yes. And it's being a family program, mm-hmm. is a perfectly white bed. You know, the white sheets and maybe the small coverlet on the bottom or something. And so this is an article that talks about, from the Huffington Post, that talks about why these hotels have all gone to white sheets. And it's because?
Because it looks clean and it makes you feel that the rest of the room must be clean. And everything about the place is clean because first impressions mean everything. How close am I?
Why did I even bother to come in today? Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. When Westin pioneered its now famous Heavenly Bed, mm-hmm. in the 1990s, the idea of an all-white hotel bed was very unpopular. Hotels mostly used colored bedspreads, which were easier to keep clean. But after seeing the results of trial testing, Westin designers were convinced that was the only way to go. They say that the all-white bed creates this halo effect. People thought a room had been renovated, even though it was just the bed had been changed.
Fascinating.
You just validated that.
Well, you know, from the standpoint of someone who examines rather closely for bed bugs and whatever, a lot easier to check a white bed than it is a blue or green or red.
And now with all of these folks that are the germaphobes telling you that when you walk into a hotel room, if the top of the cover is not white, then take it off, put it in the corner of the room. And I know many, many people who do that, and I probably would be one of them. And so that's the travel news for today. We have later on some updates on things that we've presented previously, and also a new feature we're going to start this week that is entitled What I Learned on the Road This Week. So we'll share that with you later on.
No, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We talked not that long ago about a trip that Sports Leisure Vacations took with the city of New Orleans to New Orleans and by rail to Chicago. And Kevin from Sports Leisure Vacations will join us after the break, and we'll get an update on exactly how that trip went right here on the Travel Guys on KFBK.
Tom, you know, a few weeks ago on the show, we had a gentleman as a guest who was connected to one of those luxury train, Premier Rail thingies, where they take folks on long distance train rides in complete and total luxury, kind of like the Orient Express. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. One of those thingies.
It's a technical travel term.
There you go.
And Sports Leisure Vacations had a group that went on one of the Premier Rail trains, hooked onto the back of the city of New Orleans from New Orleans to Chicago just about a week ago. And I thought, it's one thing to promote to people and tell people that they should consider going somewhere or think about attending a special event or engaging in a particular activity. But here we have, because of our circumstances, we can tell folks after it happened how it went. So on the phone with us is road reporter Kevin Murphy from Sports Leisure Vacations. Kevin was the tour director for the trip on the city of New Orleans. Welcome to the Travel Guys, Kevin.
Thank you, guys.
Kevin, thanks for joining us. How was it? Did you guys have a good time? Give us a little backside of the story.
It was a really amazing trip. The Premier Rail Collections has done an outstanding job at restoring these old Pullman cars to their days of former glory, and everything from the equipment up to the service has the Pullman name on it. From the moment we got to the rail station in New Orleans, we were greeted by six or seven uniformed personnel wearing the white coats with the black bow ties, and even the conductor had his blazer with the word Pullman written on it and his conductor's cap. It was really like stepping back into the golden years of rail travel.
Kevin, did you feel special? I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, when folks are getting ready to get on a cruise ship and the big ship is there and stuff, it's kind of excitement starts to build up. Was it that kind of a feeling getting onto this train?
That was absolutely the case, particularly, again, when we arrived at the station and we see the uniformed personnel there. They are there just for us. Of course, Amtrak is boarding their regular customers as well and into the coach cars, into the Amtrak sleepers. But these uniformed personnel are there just for us. They handle your bags. They check you in. They give you your tickets. And they boarded you separately. And once you were on board, they showed you directly to your room. And because this equipment is it just spans the decades from the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. Every car is completely different. So you're shown all the individual controls and shown the layouts and then just exploring the other cars and getting to see other people in their rooms. That was just fascinating, just seeing the different layouts and meeting the different people on board the train.
Plenty of food and beverage on board, I'm assuming?
Yes, all the food and beverages were included. We boarded the train at about 1:30, 1:45, and even though it was a little bit late for lunch, they were ready for us. They had lunch on board. After that, it was a full bar in the lounge car up until dinner, which included about five different meals that you could choose from, prepared right on board the train, and along with some regional wines and regional beers, and then breakfast the next morning before we got off in Chicago. So we always were traveling on a full stomach.
That's awesome. We're listening. We're talking with Kevin with Sports Leisure Vacations. It was a train trip from New Orleans to Chicago. Hooked on the city of New Orleans. Now, I'm guessing that we had some live music on board?
Yeah, there was a little bit of live music on board, in addition to some discussions about the areas that we were passing through. We had some guests on board that filled in what we were seeing out the windows and talked to us a little bit about the history of the region as well as the ecology. Of course, we were passing through a lot of the areas that had been flooded during Hurricane Katrina, so we had some insight and some personal views from people who had to live through that particular experience.
Kevin, just lastly here, when the folks got off the train, what was their, that kind of travel is not inexpensive. Doesn't matter who you go with or what specialty train you go on, it's not an inexpensive way to travel. Did folks feel like they had gotten good value for what they had paid for the trip?
I think so. And again, you know, you can get food on different trains, you can get drinks on different trains, but just the atmosphere, just the traveling on this historic equipment and seeing the personnel in uniforms and just, you know, service is the number one product that they're providing. And they did an outstanding job.
We're talking about the Premier Rail Collection, and we'll put a link to their website on TravelGuysRadio.com in case you didn't hear the first interview. And if you like luxury rail travel, then this might be something that you might want to look into. No sports leisure groups currently scheduled, but lots of opportunities there. And for independent rail travel, just go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you'll see the link there for Premier Rail Tours. Thanks, Kevin, for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
You know, I got to do the snow train to Reno. I think the next big step is going to have to be the city of New Orleans. That sounds so cool.
Yep, sounds like a lot of fun. Kevin did a good job.
Well, we're going to start a new feature, and it starts today here for regular happenings on the Travel Guys. Mark does a lot of traveling, and he just learns so much by way of experience and the people he talks to and the things he sees. So we're going to kick it off with a feature called What I Learned on the Road This Week, featuring Mark Hoffman.
Well, so, and you always see little things. Here are some examples. At the Burbank Airport, flew into Burbank Friday night. They have a brand new rental car facility. So if you haven't been to Burbank for a while and you've rented a car there before, the cars aren't where they used to be. So good to know. So don't do like Mark. Walk out of the terminal with your head down in your bag and just walk around the sidewalk to where the cars are because they're not there anymore. So there's a new rental car facility at Burbank. It's a little further walk, but it's kind of nice. And it's a huge improvement on what they had. They're looking at maybe a new terminal down there. I learned this week on the road that the W Hotel at Hollywood and Vine is, as they've always said, very trendy and very upscale and extremely noisy on Friday and Saturday nights.
Really?
Until, let's say, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, really noisy on Friday and Saturday nights.
Is the W Hotel, is that like a Westin or something?
It's a Starwood brand, yes, like Westin. It is a spinoff of a Westin. It's meant to be for people in their 20s and 30s and trendy and upscale. And
well, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's at Hollywood and Vine, and so it's in a very trendy up. I just thought I'd never stayed there, and I wanted to stay there once.
Remember, noisy on the weekends, but for those that are looking for that, I'm sure is a hot spot.
I went to see the Route 66 exhibit at the Gene Autry Museum.
Oh, cool.
They call it now the Autry Museum of Western Heritage since he's been gone for a while.
Do they have the Stuff Trigger?
No, they don't have Stuff Trigger, but it was a very good Route 66 exhibit, and it's there until the first week of January. If you are a roadie like me, I strongly recommend that you go. I wanted to get a trip to go. And
what else have you learned on the road?
What else did I learn on the road this week? I learned that parking at Sacramento International Airport has changed as more people are parking in Lot A. The economy lot now is limited in size, so it's frequently full. So a lot more people are parking in the paved lot behind the garage, which mm-hmm. costs you 12. Economy's 10. Paved is 12, garage is 17. So I get out there on Friday night thinking I'm going to park real close to the terminal and just walk right in. I'm a little short on time, which is, I know, breaks one of my own rules. And I get there and find out, no, you have to park way out there and either take a shuttle bus or a 10-minute walk. So if you're going to Sacramento Airport, allow yourself plenty of time, which we're always telling you to do. But if you're if you park in the $12 lot on the ground lot, mm-hmm. you're probably going to be parking a little further from the terminal and you may need to take a shuttle bus to get in. And finally, I learned just a few minutes ago that when you're on the road, that it's a good thing to be flexible with your plans, because Kevin Murphy, that we just had on our interview here,
right.
that we taped earlier this week, Kevin made a trip down to Southern California, and he just texted me. He's my general manager, said he won't be in tomorrow morning until 10:30 because United Airlines just offered him $800 to wait and come home tomorrow. And he said, I just can't pass that up.
So it just goes to show, you know, an opportunity to pick up some spare change if you don't have to be home on time. For somebody who is desperate for a flight exists even just as near as
and
the LAX.
And that's a very steep offer, $800 just for between Los Angeles and San Francisco. So I don't blame Kevin for snagging that. And in weeks ahead, I'll share with you some of the things that I've learned on the road this week on The Travel Guys.
There you go. We are The Travel Guys. We got another 30 minutes of fun stuff to cover, so keep it here. Going to check the news, and we'll be back. Travel Guys brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on News Radio KFBK. Welcome to the Travel Guys on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman with Sports Leisure Vacations. You know, nowadays, everybody is trying to find a way to do things differently, especially when it comes to customer service. Mark, tell us about our guest today.
Well, Tom, Red Lion Hotels is something that is a brand name that folks around Sacramento have been familiar with for a long time. I've lived here most of my life, and the Red Lion Hotel has always been one of the premier properties in Sacramento. The flag has moved from one hotel to another over the years, and so now we have two Red Lion Hotels in Sacramento. But more importantly, the Red Lion brand has been revitalized mostly throughout the Pacific Northwest. They can be found in a few other places other than that, but their original home was the Pacific Northwest, and that's kind of where their footprint still is. Earlier this year, we told folks that they had blew up their frequent traveler program. They basically said to everybody, you've got 6 months to redeem all your points, and then we're going to start over. And they gave you a variety of ways to do it, everything from gift cards to using them for hotel rooms, etc. And so now the board is cleared, and they're ready to go all over again. And so we have Jason Theobar. Jason is with Red Lion Hotels. Welcome, Jason, to the program, along with Pam Scott, who is also part of Red Lion, and they're here to tell us about their new program. Welcome, folks.
Thanks, Mark and Tom. We're excited to be here today.
Please tell us, why did you decide that the old program was broken? Then we'll talk about what the new program looks like and what it offers people that the old program didn't. But first, why was the decision made to get rid of the old program?
Well, the original premise of our previous loyalty program was to mirror the existing landscape of loyalty programs, in essence, a points-based loyalty programs, which is, in essence, created customers that were constantly seeking, you know, transactions and deal-seeking type loyalty behavior. What we wanted to move into was more along the lines of what we call emotional loyalty, the type of loyalty that customers give you when they think about a great stay. So the premise of Hello Rewards, which is our new loyalty program, is can probably best be summarized with the phrase that memories of good times are more powerful than memories of great savings. And from that premise, we built out what we're calling a recognition-based loyalty program that is intended to provide customers really three main service promises, if you will. Those three are in the area of knowingly recognizing you as a customer based on your preferences, providing you moments of surprise and delight, And lastly, fueling your passions based on where you're going.
Okay, that all sounds really impressive and really, really flowery and stuff like that. Let's cut to the chase. Tell us if the old program went away because it was like all of the other ones, and now you've got all these lovely flowery descriptions, let's really tell people, the listeners here, what's in it for them in this new program that wasn't in it in the old program?
Probably the most important what's in it for them is the more they stay, the more they get. That's probably the best way. We still have the traditional stay-based. The more you stay, the more free nights you earn. That doesn't change. But we also are adding in other elements like free breakfast, free recognition moments such as perks to some of our partner marketing organizations like Amazon or REI or...
So you'll be able to use your points in a variety... You would be able to perhaps use your points to get breakfast in the morning.
So every loyalty program has different currencies that they value from their customers. Those currencies, in the case of points-based programs, are the more you spend, the more points you earn to redeem for other items. With Hello Rewards, Red Lion's new loyalty program, we have two currencies. Those are stays, meaning the more you stay, the more you get. The more free nights you earn, the more perks like breakfast or drink coupons in our outlets that you'll earn. But we also have member profile information, and part of the gamification element of Hello Rewards is asking our members different questions about themselves, questions that allow us to better serve them moving forward. One question could be, your daily routine starts with a nice cup of A, coffee, B, tea, C, juice, or D, other. Based on that answer, we will provide moments of surprise and delight, like a special brew of coffee waiting for you in the lobby, or a new juice blend that you can get because you're a Hello Rewards member in our outlet. Special, unique, unpublished perks that customers will have waiting for them based on their profile and based on their stay history here at Red Lion.
Jason, in regards to this program, has it been in place for a while? Have people been using it? Have you gotten any feedback as to how folks are liking it so far?
That's a great question. Our Hello Rewards loyalty program officially starts here at the end of the year. We're targeting a December launch. Mm-hmm. Between our notification to our previous loyalty members about the points program going away, we have had a six-month period of time from which they can redeem their points. We have had some customers ask questions about it, and each and every time that we've walked them through this migration from points-based programs to recognition-based programs, they're really excited about the kind of changes that we're putting in place here at Red Lion.
You know, Tom and Jason, it sounds as though at my own company, we've always had something called what we call POS, positively outrageous service. And the definition of that is that it has to be random and unexpected. It has to be something that the customer may over time come to expect you to do POS types of things, but they should never know exactly what it is that's going to happen that might be positive so that you can continue to exceed their expectations. And it sounds to me like that's kind of the direction that you're going here, is that you want to present people with pleasant little surprises. And as a traveler, I can kind of buy into that. I'm kind of wondering how those folks who are really anal and analytical about their points and their values and everything are going to respond to this. I guess time and the marketplace will tell how consumers respond to this, but it certainly is an interesting concept. You're going to try to collect a little more information on people, perhaps, than other people give. Not necessarily private information, but just, or personal information, but just things that wouldn't normally be a part of conversation, and use that information to make my stay better. If you can pull that off, then I'm going to suggest that the overall to that is that's two thumbs up. I mean, if you can exceed my expectations, which obviously is the direction that you're trying to go with this.
Yeah, we've seen it work really well in the retail industry, and we believe it's going to really be a what we're calling a disruptive loyalty program here in the travel space. You know, honestly, you made a question about the points junkies and how they're going to approach it. We are probably not the points junkies' first call anyways. They're probably looking to stay at some of the bigger brands that have portfolios around the world so they can redeem their points in, I don't know, Waikoloa Village or London. That's not our game at this stage of our development. We're focused on taking each and every customer, and really we want to recognize members from their very first stay, because that first interaction is so key, and that's what Hello Rewards is going to be really rooted in.
So someone doesn't necessarily have to establish themselves by staying 10 or 20 times to be recognized as potentially a good customer.
That's right. In fact, we have a very important type of perk that we're providing first-time customers to the Hello Rewards members right out of the gate on their very first day.
Nice. Jason Theobar from Red Lion Hotels is our guest on the Travel Guys today. They have rolled out a brand new rewards program, or are going to be rolling out, more accurately, a new rewards program for their guests around the first of the year. If you would like to get signed up for that program now, if you're already a part of Red Lion current frequent traveler program, why, you've already gotten notifications about this. But if you haven't and you would like to become a part of the new program, go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and there you will see a direct link that will take you to the Red Lion website, directly to the Hello Rewards site, and you can get signed up right away. Jason, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Tom. We appreciate it.
So, Thomas, what do you think about this new? What do you think about this new? I guess it helps if you turn the microphone on.
Sorry,
that's all right. It's that's why you're the pro and I'm the amateur when it comes to radio. So, what do you think about the idea of positively outrageous service of just
it's exciting.
If you walked into a Red Lion Inn and suddenly they just said, hey, you know, you get free breakfast just because you're Tom Romano. We know that you breakfast is important to you. And
or because you're a first time stayer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think it was well pointed out by you, this positively outrageous service. The key is it needs to be unexpected.
Yes. Yes. And because if there's an expectation and then you don't meet it, why then?
Too oftentimes it's a positively horrendous service that is totally unexpected.
It is. We got 2 spare minutes here, and I have a list. You know how much I love lists.
Lists,
I've
okay.
had this one for a couple weeks. This is hotel booking mistakes people don't know they're making. They make them all the time. We can run through these really quickly.
I bet you I have made at least half of these.
Oh, I think so.
Go ahead, I'll tell you whether I have or not.
Always expecting the best room. You have no status, you've never stayed at the place before, you're paying a discount rate, you walk in off the street, and you think that immediately you would be upgraded to a suite or a corner room or something like
that.
Probably not so much. Expecting requests to be guaranteed. Remember, when you make requests... Remember that word request.
Mm-hmm.
So unless you, again, have status with a hotel or something like that, it's likely that those are requests, and the number of beds or the refrigerator or the whatever that you made, it's a request.
I can't even get a request for foam rather than feather pillows, right? Be sneezing all night and I go, where's my foam pillow?
Using incorrect arrival and departure dates. It is amazing, Tom. I check in groups. Oftentimes I'm checking in myself or checking a group in at a hotel. It's amazing how many times people show up with all their papers. They've got their folder or their phone or their iPad or whatever. And it's like, no, you don't have a room for me? Look right here. It says, I've got a room. I made a reservation. And the guy looks at it for a second
off.
And he says, yeah, you made it for November and this is October, or you made it for the 20th. Today's the 19th.
I think I've done that one.
When you make a reservation and they send you the confirmation to your email, take a minute, look at it, make sure it's right. Not using a credit card is another mistake people make. If you use your credit card, you have a dispute with the bill or something like that, much easier to get your money back.
Where on this planet can you make a reservation or do anything without a credit card?
Without a credit card.
I don't know where that is.
You can use a debit card. And then your money gets tied up, and it's not as easy to get a refund from the hotel at the end of the day. Another one, not accounting for taxes and resort fees. You're planning on your vacation, and you're staying 7 nights someplace, and you go to check out, and it's a $30 resort fee, and now you're out $200 that you hadn't planned on or budgeted for. So mm-hmm. that's something that you got to be careful on. And not checking the reviews. And in this day and age,
I'm bad at that.
I got to tell you that no matter who you are, how computer literate or illiterate you are, you need to go online or have somebody go online for you and look up the hotel. And remember, just because there's a bad review there or two, or they had bed bugs 3 years ago, doesn't mean you shouldn't stay there.
Right.
But it's worth looking at.
My wife, I rely on her. She's a good check reviewers, and she knows the bedbug.com site where it has a list of Well, at least the most recent bed bug sightage at most hotels.
At least promise me you'll watch those booking dates. You really would be surprised how many people make that mistake, show up at the hotel in all good faith, only to find out that they're really in trouble. We're going to take one more break, make a little money for the radio station, and when we come back here, we're going to talk to you about the IDEA Festival in Berkeley and have an update on some of the previous news stories we've talked about here on The Travel Guys. You're listening to News Radio KFBK.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops.
Welcome, we are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, to my left, Mark Hoffman. And, you know, Mark, this is the time of the year that you go to the Harvest Festival. And you go to the home show. But, yep. You know, I bet you a lot of folks have never been to what would be considered, an IDEA Festival. And that's what they've got going on in Bay Area. You stumbled across a very interesting guest for us today. Tell us a little bit more about our guest.
We have Lance Noble. Lance is the curator for Uncharted, the Berkeley Festival of Ideas. And this is the second Festival of Ideas. It's something that's being held in Berkeley. Seems like an appropriate place. It caught my eye, Tom and Lance. And Lance, thanks for joining us on the program today on The Travel Guys.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here.
You know, you might think this was kind of a stretch for a travel show, but heck, we're in Sacramento, which is only a short train ride 13 or 14 or 20 times a day from Berkeley. I'm kind of an idea person myself. Those of us who are in business and are entrepreneurial type people, some of us are idea people and some are numbers people, and everybody has their own thing. So Lance, tell us a little bit about the Berkeley Festival of Ideas. How did it get started? How did it go last year? What does it consist of?
Well, it's interesting you say you're kind of an ideas person, and I think that's exactly the audience we're looking for, the people that are as excited about ideas as other people might get excited about going to a music festival or, as you say, a harvest festival or something like that. For a certain crowd, ideas are an incredibly exciting thing, and the notion of going to a day or 2 days where you're surrounded by amazing thinkers and talking about very interesting ideas on the edge is a very exciting notion. So we came up with this early last year. I'm part of a team that runs a local news website in Berkeley, Berkeleyside. And as we thought about, what really defines Berkeley and what are some of the characteristics of Berkeley that we could seize upon, Berkeley as a place for ideas and particularly for pioneering ideas on the edge, struck us as one of the real traditions of this city. And so it seemed the natural place to hold this kind of festival, this celebration of pioneering thinking, and that really was the origin of it.
Why don't you tell our audience the different kinds of folks that are going to be speaking and engaging with the audience there?
Sure. Well, we have an incredible variety of speakers. There are some very famous people. Randy Sheckman, who almost exactly a year ago won the Nobel Prize in medicine, is going to be speaking. John Adams, who's a Grammy and Pulitzer-winning composer of operas and other sort of great symphonic works and things like that. The Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Steve Cole is going to be speaking about some of his work on the Islamic State.
We're talking with Lance Noble. Lance is a part of Uncharted, the Berkeley Festival of Ideas, and that takes place on October 24th and 25th. Downtown Berkeley in the Berkeley Arts District is where it starts. You did this last year, Lance. What was a takeaway from last year's event?
Well, one of the interesting things about the first Uncharted we did a year ago was that ideas emerged and sort of themes emerged across very different speakers that we hadn't choreographed or planned or designed. We get these speakers and it isn't kind of pre-planned, nicely choreographed, perfect presentations. It's conversations and unexpected things emerge and new ideas emerge and people are challenged. And it's a chance to really kind of explore ideas and be surprised by what comes out of it.
It sounds like that the spontaneity is a big part of it. And from the promotional piece, Tom, here's a sampling of conversation topics. And really, it's all over the place. Science in the open society, robotics in the cloud, the colorization of America. What does it mean to be human? the lure of social democracy? Can art bridge social and political divides? The future of medicine? Will data swallow all of our freedom? As you can see, it really just covers the broad social spectrum. There almost would be something there for everyone. Lance, if folks would like to be a part of this, we have put a link to your website on travelguysradio.com. But tell folks what it costs and how they can be a part of the Idea Festival.
Sure. So berkeleyideas.com is our website, easy to find. To come for 2 days costs $345. To come for 1 day costs $215.
It's the Uncharted, the Berkeley Festival of Ideas. 2 days, thrilling discussions, innovations from the worlds of technology, science, culture, food, arts. I think there's something there for just about everybody, don't you think, Mark?
It sounds fascinating to me. If I were in town, Tom, I would be a part of this, and I've already kind of put a teaser on my computer just so that if there's a third Idea Festival, it would be fun to be part of it. It just seems like that you would come away from something like this richer for the experience. If you were an idea person, that something like this wouldn't just completely be overstimulation of the brain. Is that a good analogy, Lance?
I think it's great, but there's also a fantastic party. So, you know, it's easy to think this is all I'm going to listen to these, you know, very heady things and my brain is going to be spinning. But it's also about having fun and engaging with really interesting people. So getting your head spinning, but also, you know, enjoying the crowd, having some great music,
sure,
food, and party as well.
Absolutely.
Lance, thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys. We'll put the link. Go to travelguysradio.com, and we will link you to the Berkeley Festival of Ideas. And goodness, if someone out there has already decided to attend or attends this, while we would love to hear from you afterwards and hear what you got from it. Lance, thank you for being a guest today.
Thanks so much, Mark and Tom.
We are the Travel Guys, and it's nearing the end of the program. Got a little bit of housework to do.
We got housekeeping. We need to announce a Sports Leisure Traveler winner.
I will tip you when you're done, by the way.
Thank you very much. This little envelope there by the bed. $50 gift card, travel Sports Leisure gift card to Patty Scholberg, it looks like. S-H-O-L-B-E-R-G. Patty was on the cruise with us just over the last week. Patty, you've won a $50 gift card. Call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday. Tell them you heard your name on the radio, and we'll double it to $100. Let's see here. Another announcement. Matt at Seascape Travel asked me to announce that they are having a free travel seminar next Saturday from 10:30 to 1. It's about it's with Tourism New South Wales and Africa. So if you're interested in Australia or Africa, Matt has a travel seminar next Saturday from 10:30 to 1 o'clock. It's at the Sunrise Event Center in Rancho Cordova. You can go to seascapetravel.com for information or call Matt at 681-5494. That's a travel seminar for Australia and Africa. If you're a Sports Leisure traveler, coming up next week, you want to be on our by invitation only list because the legendary actress Angela Lansbury is coming back to San Francisco.
Wow.
She's going to reprise a role in Blythe Spirit, a play that's going to run a very short run in San Francisco starting in January. If you're a member of Sports Leisure's by invitation only list, you're going to get notifications about this next week. So if you don't know anything about it, go to sportsleisure.com and look for the by invitation only list. A few quick news updates. We talked about Marriott getting fined a lot of money for fiddling with the Wi-Fi, you know,
right,
in the hotel. And a lot of talk about this online, but one guy said it right. He said, look, corporate entities and their lawyers do not plead guilty and pay fines unless they've done something wrong.
So they're disputing.
Disputing the fact that, well, Marriott paid that $500,000 and maybe they really weren't that bad of guys. We told you earlier, the Waldorf Waldorf Astoria Hotel was going to be sold. It has been sold for $1.95 million, making it the most expensive hotel in the world. Oh, by the way, that comes with a block of Manhattan real estate. And finally, if you want to say something nice to a flight attendant, it appears the best way to do it is tweet the airline directly and give them the information, and they'll put it right into the file while you're on board, and there's some news updates for you.
And there you go. Wrapping up another edition of the Travel Guys. Be listening throughout the week for Mark and our travel tip of the day, and we'll be back next Sunday, 3 o'clock, and we'll do it all again. Another edition of the Travel Guys.